Yeah, well, good morning. This morning I want to talk about being trustworthy, or you can interchange it with being honest. It's not something we just wake up with. It's not something we just wake up one morning and it's just part of our character. But it's something that we need to prove ourselves over time. I was thinking, how do we do that? It's by being honest and telling the whole truth every time. I was thinking when something happens and your parents ask, so what happened here? There's a squabble. And a lot of times you just want to tell them the part that's good, right? You don't want to tell them, you know, that one little part. But yeah, I have a story here that I wanted to read that kind of brings out being trustworthy. I'll read this and then I have some other comments. Many years ago, there lived three little boys, Joe, Henry, and Charles. They all started to school at the same time. For a long while, they kept together in their classes and they were very good friends. But when they were about 14, two of the boys, Joe and Henry, began to go out nights, and it was always late when they got home. Charles stayed at home in the evening and studied his lessons for the next day, as he had always done. Of course, the difference soon showed up in their schoolwork. Charles always knew his lessons, while Joe and Henry fell far behind. When examination time came, the boys begged Charles to help them. "No," said Charles firmly, "I will never do anything like that. My mother says that my father wanted me to be honest, and I mean to be." "Aw," said Henry, "your father has been dead for a long time, and your mother will never know. I say there's no harm in giving a fellow a lift in his examinations," grumbled Joe. "It would be cheating," said Charles quietly, "or helping you too, and that would just be bad." And with that, he turned to his own work and began to write diligently. Of course, Charles passed all his examinations with honors, and of course, Joe and Henry failed. After that, the boys tormented Charles in every way that they could. They called him mother's honest little darling. And when they saw him coming, they yelled, "Go home and hang on your mother's apron string." Mother knew by Charles' sober face that something had gone wrong. "What is it, my son?" she asked. And Charles told her what had happened. She told him how glad she was that he did not do wrong, and how proud his father would be of such a son. "I shall never be ashamed of you," he said, "as long as you are perfectly honest. Sometimes you will find it rather hard, but just wait a few years and you will see that it pays." Charles had been discouraged, but mother's words made him feel quite strong and brave again. The next time he saw the boys, his honest blue eyes looked straight into their faces, unashamed and unafraid. They dropped their eyes and hurried away as quickly as they could. They did not bother Charles again, for the principal had heard of their actions and had punished them severely. When school was out, the boys began to think about doing something to earn a little money. Henry was passing the drugstore one day when he noticed a sign in the window: "Boy wanted. Apply in person." He went into the store at once and asked for the job. The druggist took him to a little room back of the store. "Here," he said, "is a chest of nails and bolts. You may sort them." The boy worked for a while, and then he said to himself, "What a queer job this is." He went back into the store and said to the druggist, "If this is all you have for me to do, I don't believe I want the job." He was bored. He thought it was silly. "Very well," said the druggist. "This is all I have for you to do now." He paid Henry for the work he had done already, and the boy went home. The druggist went back to the little room and found bolts and nails scattered all over the floor. He put them back in the chest, and then he hung the sign back on the window. The next day, Joe passed by and saw the sign, and he, too, went in and asked for the job. The druggist took him to the little room and showed him the chest of nails and told him to sort them. When the boy had worked only a little while, he went back to the druggist and said, "Those rusty old nails are no good. Why don't you let me throw them away? I don't like this kind of job anyway." "All right," said the druggist. He paid Joe for what he had done and let him go, and he put the nails and bolts back into the chest. he said to him, as he put the nails and bolts back into the chest, he said to himself, I am willing to pay more than this to find a really honest boy. Later, Joe and Henry sauntered down the street together, saw the sign in the window, boy wanted, apply in person. Guess he wanted a boy very bad, said Joe. That's no job, sorting those old rusty things. Did you find anything in the chest besides bolts and nails, Henry? I'm not telling anything I found, said Henry with a laugh. Joe looked up puzzled and a little alarmed. Now I wonder, he began, but broke off suddenly and started to talk about something else. A few days later, after Charles passed by the drugstore and saw the sign in the window, he went in and told the druggist he would like to have the job. Are you Joe and Henry's friends? Asked the druggist, looking at him sharply. Oh, no, sir, replied Charles quickly. We used to be good friends, but something happened between us that I don't like to tell, and they won't have anything to do with me afterwards. I'm glad to hear that, said the druggist. I rather think you're the boy I want. For 2 or 3 hours, Charles worked steadily, now and then whistling a snatch of a tune. Then he went to the druggist and said, I have finished the job you gave me. What shall I do next? The druggist went to the little room to see how Charles had done his work. The boy had found some boxes lying around and had placed the bolts in one, the nails in another, and the screws in a third. And see what I found, exclaimed Charles. It was lying under those old crooked bolts in the bottom of the chest. And he handed the druggist a $5 gold piece. So he found a $5 gold coin at the bottom of the chest. The druggist took the money and said with a smile, now you may place the bolts and nails and screws back in the chest, just as you have them arranged in the boxes. After he had done that, Charles went on a few errands, and then he was dismissed for the day. A few days later, the druggist gave Charles a key and said, you may come in early and open the store and do the sweeping and dusting. At the end of the first week, Charles received his pay envelope. He found a $5 gold piece along with his wages. One morning, not long afterward, when Charles was sweeping the floor, he found a few pennies lying near the counter. He picked them up and laid them on the shelf and told the druggist about them. Another day, he found some pennies, a dime and 2 nickels. Those, too, he laid upon the shelf, telling the druggist where he had found them. And about a month later, when he was sweeping one morning, he found a bright, shiny new dollar. How he did wish he might keep it for himself. The druggist would never know it, whispered a tiny voice. But just at that instant, Be Honest began to buzz around his ears. Don't forget what mother told you, said the bee. She said she would never be ashamed of you as long as you were perfectly honest. Charles turned the shiny dollar over and over in his hand. The bee kept on buzzing. Never do anything that will make your mother ashamed of you. Be honest, be honest. Yes, said Charles at last, I will. He laid the dollar up on the shelf, and when the druggist came in, he told him about it. The druggist smiled and patted him on the shoulder. You are an honest boy, was all he said. And at the end of the week, Charles found the shiny dollar in his pay envelope beside his usual wages. A few weeks later, the druggist began to give Charles large sums of money to take to the bank for him. I have found that I can trust you, my boy, he would say. Charles worked in the store all that summer, and when school opened again, he helped the druggist mornings and evenings. His tired mother did not need to take in so many washings now, for Charles always gave her his money at the end of the week. After he had finished school, the druggist gave him a steady job in the store with good wages. Charles said the druggist one day, do you remember the day you sorted bolts and nails for me? Indeed I do, answered Charles. How glad I was to find work that day, so I could help my mother a little. And I shall never forget how surprised I was when I found a $5 gold piece at the bottom of the chest. I put it in there on purpose, said the druggist. I wanted to find out what sort of boy you were. You did, exclaimed the astonished boy. Yes, and when you brought it to me, I was pretty sure that I had found an honest boy, but I wanted to be able to trust you with large sums of money, so I tested you still further. I left pennies and nickels and a dime on the floor, and at last of all, a dollar. When you picked them all up and laid them on the shelf, and told me about them, I knew that I could safely trust you. So I was thinking, maybe as you guys get older, you may find some money somewhere, and maybe someone didn't plant it there. But if you give it to the owner of the store, or give it to its owner, even though he maybe didn't know it was missing, in the same way, that would be building trust. I knew then, okay, I should like to ask you, said Charles suddenly, was there a gold piece lying in the bottom of the chest when Joe and Henry sorted the nails too? Yes, said the druggist. Each of them found a gold piece there, and each of them kept it for himself. So you lost $10, exclaimed Charles. Yes, lost $10 hunting for an honest boy, but it was worth it, for I found one at last. So that was a story of being trustworthy. And I also wanted to talk a little more. I don't know if it was last Sunday or two Sundays ago, but Delmer spoke a little bit. I was thinking of the Jenga blocks, the game that you play where you try to pull a block out of the bottom and then you put it on the top. It takes a while to build the tower, but if you pull the wrong block, the whole tower will collapse. But telling the untruth is the same way. One lie will cause people to no longer trust you, and it will take you a long time to regain their trust. So you can say the truth for many years, but if you tell your friends one big lie, it's kind of like kicking the feet out of underneath them. So the next time you say something, they kind of hesitate. They're like, last time you said something, I couldn't trust what he said. I don't know if I can believe him this time or not. I was thinking of Joseph. Joseph and his brothers. You guys remember that story of when Joseph's brothers were planning to kill him because Joseph was maybe overzealous. He came out and he just said what he thought, and they got tired and annoyed of him, and they said, "We're just going to kill him." And Reuben, he said, "Well, we shouldn't kill someone that's innocent. Maybe we could just put him over here in the cistern." But in the back of his mind, he was thinking, "Well, when the brothers are not around, I'm going to help him get out, and he'll go back to father, to Jacob." But then when Reuben was not around, the other 10 brothers sold him to some traders that were going into Egypt. And so at this point, we can see that they were not trustworthy. They were not brothers that you would want to rely on. But then years later, we all know the story of Joseph. By being honest and telling the truth and everything that he did, everything that he touched prospered. It didn't take very long, and he kept moving up and higher, and eventually, it's a pretty long story, but eventually he became the second in command. So the only person that had more power than Joseph had was the king. It says that no one in all the land did anything without Joseph's permission. And then we know his brothers, years later, we know the story about the famine. It was 5 years of very good crops. And Joseph warned Potiphar? He warned Potiphar, or maybe it was the king, about the good times, and then that the bad times were coming. And then eventually Joseph's brothers, 10 of his brothers came back to Egypt for food because where his brothers lived was a drought. And Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. And so he gave them food, and he accused them. He said, you guys are just spies. You guys came here. I know what you guys are after. You're trying to get information and see, find our weak points. And they said, no, we're not spies. And so Joseph said, okay, well, just to prove it, I'm going to keep one of you guys here. And he found out, he asked him, so is your father still alive? And do you have any brothers? And they told him that they have a younger brother. So he said, well, I'm going to hold one of you guys to make sure that you guys come back. And if you guys come back without Benjamin, you won't see me again. I'm not going to work with you guys. So over a few months, eventually they were low enough on food, they talked Jacob into letting them go back to Egypt with Benjamin. So they went back to Egypt with Benjamin. And again, Joseph filled all their bags, loaded down their donkeys with grain, and they headed out. And shortly afterwards, Joseph sent his one of his servants sent them out after his brothers, and he said, my Lord sent me, my master sent me, and said that his silver cup, a very expensive silver cup, is missing out of the palace. Joseph had his own palace, and they said he noticed it right away. One of you guys stole it. And at this point, you can see they changed a lot because they had complete confidence in each other. The brothers agreed. They said, look, we're honest men, and we did not take your cup. They said, if whoever's bag that you find this cup in, you can kill him. And you can take all the rest of us as slaves. The story that goes ended up, they checked everybody's bag, and they found the cup in Benjamin's bag. And when they pulled it out, it said the brothers were about beside themselves. They tore their clothes, and they cried out, and they said, this is what God is punishing us for what we did to Joseph years ago. And they went back. They all went back into town, and Joseph said, I'm not going to punish all you guys, for what Benjamin did. He said, you guys can all go home. It's fine. I'll turn you guys all free. I'm just going to keep Benjamin. And they all said, no, that's out of the question. We can't. There's just no way we can go home without Benjamin. And they all offered that they would be slaves if only he would let Benjamin go back. They said he's the one that our father loved. And he was the only one that was, the only one that was a full brother to Joseph. So Joseph and Benjamin had the same mom. We can see there that their hearts had changed, and they were now trustworthy. So there was other things I was going to say, but they're not coming to me. I think that's all I had. Pray, and you can go back to your seats. So, Lord, we come to you. We just pray that you would teach each one of us to learn to be more trustworthy and honest in our just everything we do in life, every area of life. And just pray that you would bless these children. Pray that they would remember something that was shared here today. And we just thank you for your trustworthiness, that the sun once again came up this morning as it has for thousands of years. We just thank you that we can trust in you. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats.